Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to Yaqeen Institute's live stream program. I'm your host, Imam Tom, coming to you with a very special episode. We're live here in the studio in Dallas, Yaqeen Institute headquarters. Even the guys in the studio, we usually work remote. Now everybody's in the same room. So it's kind of a special thing. That's why I'm wearing special clothes. It's just a little bit of a different day. But we hope to bring commentary and essential content in today's episode. We've had a lot of stuff that happened in the last week. SubhanAllah, we're going to be talking about the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah. We're going to be talking about the escalation in Lebanon, the ground invasion in the south of Lebanon, in addition to Damascus getting bombed, and then subsequently the attacks from Iran. A lot of people want to know, the most common question that I see in many of the WhatsApp groups are, how should we feel about this? Why is it that the Shia governments or the Shia countries seem to be outperforming the Sunni countries when it comes to Palestine? Is this the axis of resistance that the left sort of talks about? Is this for real? Is this legit? Well, how do we deal with the crimes and the sectarian violence that has been committed by people like Nasrallah and Iran? How do we make sense of that? We're going to be talking about all of that. But first, let's do what we do. Let's go to the comments. And let's see who we have tuning in live with us tonight. Sphere of History is first in the door. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Mrs. S, wa alaikum assalam. Welcome to the program. Footballer 503, wa alaikum assalam. Commentary, you were on time, we were not. Apologies for that. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Zahir Yunus, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless you. You're always so kind and generous with your dua. May Allah accept and make us all better than what you think of us, and ma'juran, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. Saliha Ahmed from Atlanta, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Good to always have Atlanta in the house. Julia Abdul Jalil from KL, Malaysia, salam at the tongue, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you're well. Watermelon 786 from Detroit, Michigan, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, October 18th, I will be in Canton giving the khutbah at Imam Dawood Walid's masjid, inshallah ta'ala. A lot of stuff going on in Michigan these days. Salman Sayyid, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Newark, California, probably very different from the Newark, New Jersey that I'm more familiar with. Welcome. Let's put that comment up in lights. Wednesday, low-key, my favorite day of the week because of the live stream. Wa lillahi alhamd. Nope. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Waiting for the bus while tuning in, alhamdulillah. I feel like I'm there with you. Nope. MashaAllah. Seamus, wa alaikum salam. Seamus, you dropped a comment that is lightning and dynamite as usual. We're going to be talking about that. You provocatively called Nasrallah, Nasr Shaitan. We're going to be talking about it, inshallah. Minami Islam Khan, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Yes, it has been a while since you've joined. Welcome, our sister from Bangladesh. May Allah bless you and the people of Bangladesh and guide their footsteps. Siraiba, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Question, when will the Yaqeen study about Muslim vote preferences be published? I don't know. You got to ask Sheikh Uthman. I just had lunch with him. I should ask him. But probably soon. I think what it's going to be is that because there's such a time crunch, we're going to be like leaking little bits here and there. We're probably not going to just like dufa wahida, you know, put it out all in, at once. Hmm. It's out. Oh, it's out. Yes. Our buddy Omar in the studio, he's saying that it's out. Where can we find it, Omar?
Yaqeen website.
Yaqeen website.
Blogs and articles.
Blogs and articles. All right. It's out. Go, run, hasten after the show, and enlighten yourself as to voting attitudes, etc., etc. Our Muslim children. Oh, all right, all right, all right. We'll get there. A Qadri, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Welcome back. Siraiba with some life lessons right there. When my wife says we need to talk, I know I'm in trouble. Yes, all of you are in trouble. No, no, no. Inshallah, we're not in trouble. Sakina Hassan, the home team in Philly, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Just wanted to say that I appreciate the fact that you take time to say salam to everyone. Salam to you, Sakina. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Philly in the house. Always a pleasure. Brotherly love. Worcester is present. Nusayba, welcome. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Muaz Uthman from Chicago, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. We got Flower King Alt. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Samiha, wa alaikum salam. I'm in your turf. Last time I met your brother, that was a great opportunity for myself. Let's see. You've got a nice question we'll get back to. Coach in the house, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Ghufr Al-Tunbas, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. From Australia, down under, mate. Very good to have you with us. The brothers in Australia have been trying to bring me out there for a long, long time. I'm hoping maybe 2025, but it's a far, far, far trip. It's a far trip. Z-Share 7, Walaikum Salam from Singapore. Welcome. Abdel Nasser from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Walaikum Salam Raftullah. I have been there, believe it or not. Abdul Qadir Sharif, Walaikum Salam Raftullah. Ameen, may Allah bless you too. Mustafa, Walaikum Salam Raftullah. Good question, Watermelon. We'll come back to that. Mariah Watson from Seattle. Walaikum Salam Raftullah. Welcome. Good to have you with us. Seattle's a lovely city. Yes, Abdullah. Abdullah also in the house tonight. Sahib al Decaf. Sahib al Qahwa al Manqusa. He did not even bring my decaf. I've been pounding caffeine all day. And Abdullah didn't even bring me decaf, bro. We'll try. We'll try again. All right. Ashley, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Well, what else do we have? Fatih, Abdul Majid, wa alaykum salam, Ghana in the house. I used to have some, there were some, mashallah, some of the best students of knowledge I ever met were from Ghana. They rolled up in Medina University. Very, very strong brothers. Hamoka or Yamotsa or Hamoka, depending on which language that is. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah from Germany. I don't know anything about Germany other than Der Vogel fliegt. Minami Islam Khan. Yes, okay, we'll get to that. From Washington, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Old Miss Nan from Malaysia, salamat datang, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Apa khabar? Rahma Baloch from Durham, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Irene Sanchez Rivera, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, from Emmaus, mashallah, Al Maqasid community, lovely community, may Allah bless you. Glad that you're tuning in. MB, wa alaykum salam from Hershey, PA. Let's do it, Muhammad. Okay, Muhammad Yassin from Utica. I miss you too, bro. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you. Amin ya Rab. Ashley coming from the Gambia. One of my first sheikhs was from the Gambia. Al-Haji Jalo. Mustafa from Djibouti. Ashik from Bangladesh. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Ryan Ouiji from Indonesia. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Indonesia, mashallah. Okay, so Marai, you did get to see us earlier in the year. That's good to hear. Sani Shar'ek, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Abdul Qadir Sharif from Philly as well. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Sara's in the house. Wa alaykum salam. Hamda Muhammad from Columbus, Ohio. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Maryam from Kuwait. Ahlan wa sahlan. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Yes, regular attendee. Good to see you. Someone's asking, okay, we'll talk about the gel. Why not? Nusrat Reza. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Nice. We'll get there. We'll get there. Siti Nuriati. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Good to have you back again. Salahuddin is my hero. Wa alaykum salam. Good to see you again. SoCal. Okay, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about that. Patience. Sabr, sabr. A250. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah from Raleigh, North Carolina. Do you have any chance to come down here? I would love to come to Raleigh. I know some of the brothers in Raleigh. I think we reached out to the brothers in Raleigh, or at least one of the communities some months ago, but I don't think we got a response. No problem. No grudges. Let's shoot for 2025. Reach out, imamtompkini@gmail.com, and I would love to go to Raleigh. All right. Very cool. Susie Barud, also from Seattle. Good to have you back. Haspi, walaikum salam raftullah. Clyde Donovan, walaikum salam raftullah. Ibrakatu, brother. Books Beyond Words, walaikum salam raftullah. Haspi is in Atlanta. Cool. AP World History Homework, Abdel Nasser, mashallah, you're tipping us off to your age. It's been quite a while since I took the AP History exam. Fatima Muhammad from Trinidad, walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Farheen Farhana, walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Art Ford, walaikum salam, welcome back. Rosiati Yaqub, walaikum salam wa rahmatullah, from Brunei, excellent. Tahira from Nueva York, presente. Nisa, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Fadum Hassan from Somalia, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Sana Rahman from Madison, Wisconsin. I lived in Madison, Wisconsin for a bit. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Here we go. Jidu, wa alaykum salam. Nisa from South Africa, welcome. Yolanda, wa alaykum salam from Colombia. Bienvenido. Colombia, great people. And Islam is spreading in Colombia, from what I understand. Earn Online, very, very suspicious username. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Danish Revert, welcome. We won't hold that against you. Mrs. S says, have you ever tried Molokhia? Yes, and I cannot stand Molokhia. Ma'alesh. Afwan. Afwan. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get, I just offended Umar and all of his ancestors. From, I have had Egyptian Malachia. I can't do it. I can't do it, guys. I'm sorry. Allah forgive me. But at least I don't drink Dika. Brooklyn in the house. Umar, hey, wa alaykum salam, rahmatullah. AM, I would love to come back to Atlanta, inshallah. Lion City, Singapore. Fareed Hassan, wa alaykum salam, rahmatullah. Yes, Sana Rahman, he is one of the imams. I used to frequent that masjid, but close to it, Sana. Aisha Siddiqui, wa alaykum salam, rahmatullah. Welcome to the program, first time, all caps. You don't need to hit that caps button. We can hear you loud and clear. But, inshallah, fast, okay, we can try to talk about it. We'll see. Kakoste, was that a Kakoste I got? Yeah, okay, Bosnians in the house, Bosnians. Okay, Shasha, wa alaykum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. North Carolina, Fatima Ghali, wa alaykum salam. Mom Samuel, wa alaykum salam, rahmatullah. Pius Ali, wa alaykum salam. Abraham Swati, wa alaykum salam, rahmatullah. Here we go. Portland, Maine, that's one place I have not been. Pius Ali, inshallah, one day. Okay, let's try to get to the bottom of this. Zainab Azan from Chicago. I'll be in Chicago in November and in December, inshallah. What time do we ask questions, Shasha? You ask questions right now, and I'm going to come back to them. Hamoka asks, what country has the most and which the least sheikhs? Well, I would guess the least amount of sheikhs would be on one of those islands that doesn't have anybody living on it. Felipe, Mulukhia is Bamia. Yeah, but it's more than Bamia. Mulukhia is like a leaf. It's different. Bamia, I can deal with Bamia, even though the Jamia traumatized me from Bamia. They used to have in the cafeteria in Medina Bamia every day. And let you know, it's like if you pick it too late, if you harvest it too late, it's like fibrous, woody. Can't you like chew it? To this day, it kind of ruined it from me. Ibrahim Zaini from Orlando. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bik. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Good to see you here, Habibi. Okay, all right. Let's go. Okay, Muaz is with me on Mulukhiya, as long as I have someone with me. Salah Adin, we can agree. Yes, I tried the Egyptian version, Allah Yahdik. We can agree to disagree. Flippy says Mulukhiya is slippery. And that's the problem I have. It's slippery, man. I don't like my food to be slippery. Nothing, you know. It's like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not like Dab, right? He didn't like the desert lizard. It's nothing against it. It's just not my preference. It's just not my preference. Be happy from Georgia, wa alaykum salam. Trez Ukache from Nova Scotia, welcome. No, A250, I have not tried the Palestinian version, and I'm always willing to try something twice. Hafsa from Amsterdam, wa alaykum salam. Can't sleep, glad you're with us. Ariyam Muhammad, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. How does Allah choose people for his love? We'll talk about it. Felipe from Morocco. Ahlan wa sahlan. Morocco has Mulukhiya, sah. I did not know that. I've got Egyptians over here giving you the thumbs down. Moroccan food is very good. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Rafisa and yeah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Very good. Excellent. All right. We got a question. Lebanese Moroccan is better. I have not tried. Laura from Morocco. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And welcome back. Sharjeel, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Yeah, A Qadri, 100%. Ibrahim and some other people are saying that the sound is choppy. Can we work on that, guys? Is that anything to make it choppy? Maybe it's a gazillion times I have on my computer. That could be it. Okay, so I was asking Sheikh Haytham Haddad. We'll talk about that. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. We love the Egyptians, of course, 100%. Umad Dunya. All right, very good. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to everybody. Let's get back. We have some really juicy questions. No pun intended for the Mulukhiya fans out there. And we're going to be getting to a lot of what you've already asked about. providing aid to those affected.
Read
All right.
The question again. You just back on that.
Okay. So let's deal with it now, actually. Okay, so all of you know what's been going on the last week. So step one, Israel drops a bunker buster bomb on a city block in Lebanon and assassinates Hassan Nasrallah. Now, Hassan Nasrallah is the 30-year leader, like 1994, assumed leadership of Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is obviously a Lebanese resistance movement, and it has been a thorn in the side of Israel for quite some time. However, there's always certain questions that come about. First of all, how significant is Hezbollah, or has Hezbollah been, when it comes to checking the tide of Israel and Israeli aggression? You know, a lot of people were saying that Hezbollah was going to open up a second front for Israel in its sort of genocide against Gaza, which would relieve the people of Gaza a little bit. On the other hand, Hezbollah, as an avowedly Shia and force backed by Iran, has committed atrocities along sectarian lines. That's a fact. They have committed atrocities against Sunnis in places like Syria and in places like Iraq. And so how do we make sense of these competing things? Okay, so put that in your back pocket for a second. Number two, after the assassination of Nasrallah, Israel prepared for a ground invasion of Lebanon. And this was a scary thing, where people were preparing for a lot of violence. We weren't sure what was going to happen. This was another sort of escalation tactic that we've seen from Israel, which is trying to draw in other countries, especially the United States, into a more obviously supporting role. And then in response to that, Iran fires 200, 300 missiles and makes contact with some of the military bases in occupied Palestine, taking out some of their air capabilities. So how do we understand this? As was mentioned by the one commenter and many of you later, we've got Seamus calling Nasrallah Nasr al-Shaytan, and we've got, you know, our Muslim children saying the Shias seem to be doing better than the Sunnis when it comes to Palestine. How do we view this? There's a couple things here, and I think that the overall general thing, brothers and sisters, is that I think, as we said last week, this is not a comic book, okay? That there are no pure heroes and there are no pure villains, usually, oftentimes. It's rare that you get a pure villain, let's put it that way. Not never, but rare. Oftentimes, things are more of a mix, or we could say that reality is messy. And I believe that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to have insaf. He calls us to be just. He calls us to be fair. And you can see this in multiple instances. One of those instances in Surah Al-Naml, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the story of Bilqis and the people of Saba and Sulaiman. And Bilqis is basically trying to test out the idea, or think through, should she go to war with Sulaiman and his people or not? And she asks her advisors. They say, hey, whatever you want to do, we're ready to go if you say. And she says basically that, well, when two nations go to war, the honorable people, the noble people among them, are humiliated and they are made low. It's basically a brain drain situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the verse by saying, وَكَذَلِكَ يَفَعْلُونَ. And upon one of the tafsirs of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually confirming as true the thing that Bilqis is saying. Despite the fact that she worships the sun, despite the fact that she is thinking about going to war with one of Allah's prophets, that she made a statement that was true, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed that and affirmed that. Okay? Now, the opposite is true as well when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to be just, even if it's against ourselves. So if someone is a Sunni with the proper aqidah, according to what your understanding of that is, if they commit an atrocity, we're not going to sweep that under the rug just because one of our own did it, right? That's tribalistic thinking. And Allah calls us to put truth over tribe. Truth over tribe, always. Which is why Musa, alayhi salam, when he was invited by someone from his own clan, Bani Israel, to get involved in a fight, right, with one of the people from the tribe of Fir'aun, he got involved in the fight on the side of the person from his own tribe. However, after the fact, he found out that the person from his tribe was wrong. And what was the proper response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us through that interaction was to repent. That basically that I got involved in this and that was wrong. I should not have gotten involved in this. Okay? So we see that we have to have insaf. We have to be fair. Okay? When someone does right or they do something good, we don't hold it against them, who they are or what team they're part of or anything like that. We have to be just and recognize the good that people do. And when somebody does wrong, even if they're from our group or our tribe or our preferred whatever, then we have to call them out and hold them accountable. And that was the way of the prophets and messengers. In fact, if you find the example of Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, okay, there was a situation in which he found something that was stolen from him, okay, and he was, I believe it was his armor, and he saw his armor was taken from him, and he went down to the marketplace and he saw somebody, it was a Jewish man, was selling his armor. He said, hey, wait a second, that's my armor. He tries to take him to court and basically say, this guy stole my armor. There was no evidence or proof, and so the judge ruled against Ali and in favor of the Jewish merchant. And the judge, when he said and delivered the hukum, he called Ali by his kunya. He said, Ya Abu al-Hasan. And Ali frowned. Now, the judge started to say, you were frowning when I gave you the ruling. Is this because you're not happy with the ruling that I ruled against you? And Ali said, no, I'm frowning because you called me by my kunya and you didn't call him by his kunya. So you expressed familiarity with me, but you treated him like a stranger. This is not fair. You showed favoritism to me. Even though you ruled against me, you showed favoritism to me and how you spoke to me. This is Islam. Okay? This is real Islam. This is not identity politics. This is not ideology politics. And so we can recognize in a very, very real sense, if you subtract some of the forces, okay, that are Shia forces from the map, you just like take them off the map right now, what's going to happen to Israel's capabilities? Israel would probably have an easier time taking over Palestine. There would be less of a threat against them, less of a deterrence. You can say that's the right word. That Hezbollah and Iran and etc., whether you think that they're doing it for the right reasons or ulterior motives, whether you think that it's mostly been empty talk or hot air or whatever, there's no doubt that their threat or potential threat of consequences to Israel's occupation has had some deterrent effect. It's also true that Iran and the Houthis and Hezbollah have committed atrocities against Sunnis, ethnic cleansing, replacing of Sunni populations with Shia populations in Syria, in Iraq. Horrible, horrible crimes, which is why that we shouldn't necessarily sanitize that and paper over that and act like it never happened, just to basically say, oh, this is the axis of resistance. They're the only ones standing up for Palestine. Does that mean that all of our standards go out the window? Does that mean that we can't hold them to account for anything whatsoever? No, that would not be insaf. That would not be insaf. That would not be being thorough about this and being just and being fair. All right, let's see. So Seamus says, simple. Two bandit projects clashed after there was no more Sunni land to usurp. Ameen to your dua. May Allah bring khair out of this and protect the Muslims. On my screen, a bunch of the comments got wiped away, so please don't hold it against me if I missed your comment or your question. I don't know what happened there, but no worries. Sunman Sayed says, saw a familiar name for the Muslims for Harris Walls campaign, Khizr Khan. Still shocked this man was being invited to mainstream American Muslim conventions. Well, I'm not going to comment too much about that, Sunman Sayed, but I will say that the convention scene and the conference scene is something that needs purification. That unfortunately, the logic of the conference is usually just who's going to bring the biggest crowd. That's who we're going to invite. And I don't think that's a very smart decision for strategic community building. I don't think that bringing the largest crowd is an effective of enough goal. It might make a lot of money. It might attract a lot of donations. It might feel good to invite people who have proximity to power and proximity to politicians and things like that. But is that what we're going for our community? Is that what's going to build a strong community? I don't think so. And so I have relationships with some of the people who run these conferences, RIS and ICNA and, you know, MASS and these sorts of things. And I think that people are starting to realize that we need to shift to a quality over quantity sort of metric when it comes to evaluating these conferences. That really these conferences are a unique opportunity to build a community in a specific way and to communicate things to the community in a specific way. And rather than just reacting to whatever's trending, I think that we need to start utilizing these conferences in a more strategic way that's going to pay dividends. What else do we have? Somebody asked about signs from the Jah. Yeah, there's tons of signs of the Jah, but that's for another program. Let's see here.
Do you see any comments, or did they all go
away? Yeah, no, I've got the comments back. I wonder if the old ones came back or no. Fatima Muhammad says, did you meet Mu'taz? Which Mu'taz? We have a Mu'taz here in studio. Our Mu'taz. Not the one you're probably asking about. Sharjil says, you also tried Bengali alu burta. Okay, sounds good. Simple is what I like, Sharjil. I'm a simple man. I don't want anything too crazy. Aisha Siddiqui says, can we ask about doubts over here, like anything related to Islam? Yes, you can. And I apologize. All the comments before that got erased from my browser. So just ask something if you had a repeat question. I appreciate that. Musa Sisa, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Sound's getting worse. No sound. Okay, hopefully it's back on. It's good. We're all right, guys. They can't take us down. Not that easy. And Kazri says it's the IOF again. Yeah, they follow us around. All right, Nusayba Qasim asks, what good does a Muslim advisor to the White House do for us? Double zero, Nusayba. Double zero on that. Nothing. Because most of the time, these people are just tokenized puppets that are meant to give, what's the word? Plausible deniability when it comes to the government to say, how could we have any anti-Muslim sentiment? We have a Muslim advising us. How could we have any anti-Islamic sentiment? We have a Muslim advising us. Whereas they pick the worst house Muslim, if you're familiar with the house Muslim, field Muslim divide, they pick the most well-heeled and well-trained house Muslim, and I pronounce that intentionally as Muslim, in order to check a box, which is why identity politics is a big failure. What advice would you give to the next one appointed by either of the parties? I think that it would be more powerful to withhold our participation so that we're not tokenized until we actually get some trade-off. What are we getting out of the relationship? If we're not getting anything out of the relationship, then it would be a wonderful day if we had a community that could say, we're not going to participate in that until X, Y, and Z is met. Yeah, I did read that as well, Seamus. Seamus brings up, Financial Times said that the Hizb involvement in Syria got them infiltrated by Israel. And that is very likely, right? So, I mean, I hate to say what goes around comes around, but Minami Islam points out, all these orders were issued while Shaitan Yahu was attending UNGA at New York. Yes, they do that. They do that very intentionally. We've seen that before. That's true, Seamus. about the Russia-Syria connection. Sada asks, I think I've heard that Israel wasn't even ready for doing a land invasion, but I wouldn't be surprised what with soldiers being incompetent. Yep, remains to be seen. Salam, wa alaikum salam from Montreal. Welcome. Ashik says, Bashar the Butcher. Yep. But enemies of my enemy is my friend now. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Footballer 503, Salvadorian here. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Bienvenido. How can I deal with my family who are evangelical and refuse to end their stereotypes on Islam and their ignorance towards Palestine and blind loyalty to Israel, who they mix with the Bible? Yeah, it's a really, really tough issue, especially evangelicals are sort of tough to crack in that sense, because a lot of the evangelical da'wah is based off of feeling and emotion rather than textualism, right? Rather than an adherence to the scripture. So it makes it kind of difficult to argue against. Without knowing more details about your situation, means I can only say so much, but in general, you know, you have to demonstrate to people, especially if they are family members, that you are a better person, that Islam has changed you for the positive, okay? And everybody's different. There are people who are intellectuals. There are people who are simple. They're not intellectuals. They're not academic people, right? You have to speak to what people know and what people take as sort of authoritative and impactful. So you're not going to speak to a day laborer in the same way that you would speak to a professor. And that is no shame on the day laborer. The day laborer will be ahead of the professor on the day of judgment, you know, all else being equal. However, you do have to talk to them in different ways, right? You have to realize what makes them tick and attempt to do the best you can, but play the long game, play the long game. And know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the same position you were. He had to deal with family members. It pained him very greatly. That did not accept his mission. And he had it worse than you do because his family members knew that he was a prophet, right? And they still rejected him. So imagine how he felt, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you can't guide whom you love. All you're responsible for doing is you're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for your conduct. You're responsible for doing the best that you can. And then you turn over the results to Allah because the results are not up to you. So Salman Sayyid said, are we going to discuss the sellouts? I mean Muslims for the Harris Walls campaign. Yeah, absolutely. So there was that that graphic going around with a bunch of names on it, and it was not a surprise. I was not surprised by any of the names and faces on that graphic. They have been people that have cozied up to the Democratic Party for a long time for various reasons and motivations, the least bad of which is just poor strategy and thinking that they're going to get something out of it. The probably worst motivation for which being that they fall under the ayats that Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah that they take as awliyat, the kuffar, instead of the Muslims. And that is mukhif. That is something that's very, very scary. So people have a variety of intentions, but the very least we can say is that it's very, very poor strategy. You have absolutely no leverage, and no such relationship has yielded any results for Muslims. Let's be clear about that. No such type of politics, which I have been calling biryani diplomacy, the idea that basically that you're going to prove your loyalty first and then get something in return down the road, has never worked. It does not work. That they will give you breadcrumbs, they will give you leftovers, they will give you tokens, they will give you lip service, and you've literally trained them to give you as little as possible while you are left in a position of indignant begging. Chill B Diva, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, we're back and we're good. Qadi Aladdin from Maryland, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. So Sada says, true, can't take away that Iran and Hizb have really helped the resistance and can't ignore the oppression they did. Same with the Sunni leaders. Most of them are traitors and didn't even help. Yeah, I mean, especially with the Sunni leaders. This isn't like, again, this isn't sports. It's not a game, it's not a football match, right? It's like, we're not looking, I don't know about you, but I don't see myself as represented by Sisi or MBS.
or the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, or any of these people. So it's not like I'm keeping score and be like, oh man, come on guys, do better. No, these guys are traitors. These guys are sellouts. And their affair on the Day of Judgment is between them and Allah. I'm not going to sit here and make takfir of anybody. But politically, a disaster. A disaster. And so, I'm not rooting for them. I hope that Allah replaces them with that which is better, right? But I also hope the same for the other side. I hope that Allah replaces all of them with people who are better. All right, good, good, good. What else we got? Fadumo Hassan says, despite our differences, there are many times in history Shia and Sunnis fought under the same army. May Allah unite us in seeing our real enemy. May Allah rid us from sectarianism. There's some nuance to that comment, right? Like there are certain times where, yeah, first of all, not all of what we call Shia are the same. Like even classically, there's a difference between tashayyu, right? And rafd. Right, there's various beliefs and practices that come under that banner. So again, we have to be fair and we have to be specific. Amina makes a nice dua. Amin. Redbeard says, "Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Although you may have answered this, I have a question. When the Holy Quran refers to whom your right hand possesses, what does this mean, and why does it refer to what? Who does it refer to sexually?" MashaAllah. You can ask your local sheikh on that and get an off-record answer. This is Yaqeen Institute, Habibi. Zahir Yunus says, Imam Tom, I recently purchased a brand new Android device, but the Play Store doesn't have the Yaqeen Institute app to download. Habibi, I got no idea what you're talking about. I don't use the Yaqeen Institute app. Though if it's there, go ahead, download it. I don't. Huh?
It's not there.
It's not there.
They took it down.
They took it down.
Yeah.
Okay, so inside information says they took it down. Tawseef Siddiqui, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, from Germany, Regensburg. Is the Muslim community really organized and serious to hurt Democrats like Sami Hamdi wants to? Yes and no. I mean, it's something that's in play, okay? It's something that is still being jockeyed over, okay? It's a possibility at this point. And the proof is in the pudding. Whether someone is hurt politically or not, we will tell after the fact in November. Be Happy says, Imam, they just bombed in Syria. My best friend's family's house was destroyed and her niece died. Five other females were also critically injured, ages 60 to 12. Didn't see any mention in the news today. Yeah, that was unfortunately one of the items that got dropped from the news headlines in between the ground invasion of Lebanon and the response attack by Iran, was that Israel is trying to plunge the whole region into a larger conflict in order to try to bait the United States get involved more directly and more heavily. And part of that was bombing Dimashq, bombing places in Syria, complete violation of their sovereignty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the slain with martyrdom and grant sabr and patience to the families. Mu'az Uthman says, is it fair to compare the current situation with Salah Ad-Din working with the Fatimids? I don't know, man. The Fatimids were kind of traitors like that. It's difficult to say. He kind of played them. You know what I mean? Right? So we got to ask Hussam, the historians in the house. We got to ask Hussam. That's a question for Hussam. We should get him in here next time. Salah Ad-Din is my hero said, someone in my group chat said that Trump would be worse for Gaza. Tell them which fortune teller did they use? Because you know politics isn't about fortune telling. Nobody knows. Mobeen Vade has a really good he has a good Substack. I recommend people subscribe. It's called Occasional Reflections. The most generic name for a Substack you could ever have, Occasional Reflections. Mobeen Vade, very, very sharp thinker. MashaAllah, may Allah preserve him. Where he deals with this question, like, would Trump have been worse for Gaza? And he plays out scenarios. And there's certain scenarios in which that would have been true and certain scenarios where it's false. Like, political forecasting is not like predicting the weather, okay? Sometimes somebody who is more blatant produces or generates a bigger pushback and blowback and causes the opposition to get more organized, right? So it's not always a straightforward thing. Allah knows best. That's not even the point though. The point is if support for Zionist genocide does not have a political cost, how do you, and you have an opportunity to attach a political cost to it, do you attempt to attach a political cost to it or not? And I think the answer is pretty clearly yes. Tausif Siddiqui says, we the Muslims in Europe and Southeast Asia are eagerly waiting for Muslims to take some action in your elections. That's good for them to hear because many of them are still suspicious that voting does anything. And I'm going to talk about that. Hey, Monday people, special episode of Imam Tam Live on Monday with Sami Hamdi. Sami Hamdi's in town. So we're going to go live and we're going to talk all things politics. Look out. It's going to be nuts. Please tune in and check your notifications, turn on that little whatever bell icon, whatever it is that's going to inform you. You can tell I'm old school. I don't really do this stuff. Whatever you have to do, set your alarms, put your sundial to remind you that we're going live with Sami Hamdi on Monday, inshallah ta'ala. Dan Rehnquist says, how can we convince people to drop the ideas of vengeance and revenge logically in an effort to allow our children to live in peace and free up the mental space for progression in other categories? I will answer that question, but I hope that question doesn't imply that Palestinians are just out for revenge, because Palestinians are not out for revenge. They are currently under a genocidal occupation. So a lot of times in the Western media, Palestinian resistance is couched in terms of hatred and revenge, which is just not true. They are literally being slaughtered and their families are being wiped out and they are attempting to stop that. That is not an issue of revenge or hatred, okay? Now, the question by itself is a good question, if it's divorced from the Palestinian context, that, or if we're to say, well, I won't even go there. Let's say that you do it through Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Quran, through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stopped the most vengeful people perhaps in the history of humankind, which was the pre-Islamic Arabs, who the Aus and Khazraj were all about vengeance. The different tribes were all about vengeance. They were constantly beefing and feuds going on hundreds and hundreds of years. The only thing that could stop that, not just stop it, but then they became brothers. The only thing that could stop that is Islam. So there's your answer. Truth over tribe. Truth over tribe ends vengeance. Hamza B says, how do we get closer to Allah and Quran and Tahajjud? All three of those all together. Get closer to Allah through Quran and Tahajjud. Samiha says, I believe this got erased. In relation to political engagement, how can we... Yes, that did get erased. I remember that from before. At an individual level, gauge if our actions are helping or hurting a movement. Well, a movement, I think that's where the details are going to play out. Okay, what's the nature of the movement? And that will determine the goals of the movement. And then you have to have metrics by which you're going to be able to tell whether you're making a positive impact or not. If the movement is, let's say that there's a movement, like there was a nice conference in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, I was at Teaching Palestine. It was a bunch of educators. GoCSE.org released a free curriculum on Palestine. Please go check it out. Great for homeschoolers, great for Islamic schools and Sunday schools. Use it. Maybe, I don't know if we can link to it. They released this curriculum. They had a conference about it. Okay, their movement is to try to get the way that Palestine is taught improved, that it's going to be less from a Zionist history and a Zionist angle and more from a correct, truthful angle that represents the plight of the Palestinians. So in that particular avenue or in that particular movement, that is how you will judge your metrics. Are you able to get presence in schools? Are you able to convince educators? Are you able to deliver that curriculum to children so that they're learning? Even just take the Muslim children in Islamic schools. Most of them don't have any solid curriculum on Palestine. Most of them have no idea about the history of Palestine, especially in the last 100 years, right? So even if that's your goal, like raising every Muslim child in the United States of America should know the history of Palestine and especially the last 100 years, right? There's your metric. Hafsa says, Muslims are being abused and targeted everywhere. And the worst part is that there is no unity. Muslims do not seem to be one ummah. That's correct. However, as we can tell from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially when they made the hijrah to Medina, that you do not unite just for the sake of unity itself. You unite upon the truth and the people who are willing to place Islam first or place truth over their tribe. That is the dictate of Islam. When Talut in Surah Al-Baqarah is going with his army, he separates his army. He tests them. He's going by a river. Everyone's thirsty. He says, only the people who don't drink from the river can come with me. everybody else stay back. Now, somebody today in 2024 would say, astaghfirullah, we don't have any unity in this army. How are we going to defeat our enemies? Where Talut is like, no, I'm only taking the A-team. I'm only taking the 313 of Badr. I'm only taking, you know, the people who are down the ride, that are do or die. Bay'at al-Ridwan, right? That's what you unite on, and then you stick together. Some people, they want to put the cart before the horse, and they want to say, well, we have to unite with everybody. Let's find every single person who identifies as Muslim and unite them, and then we'll win. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. There's Muslim Zionists. There's Muslim sellouts, right? Like, there's people who say that they're Muslim, they don't pray, they drink alcohol, they do everything, and or even worse than that, they believe that those things are permissible. They don't believe in the Sunnah. They don't even believe in the Quran. And they call themselves Muslims. You want to unite with them? Never going to happen. Not a good idea. You have to have the A-team figured out first. Anonymous. 761. Great username. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, Mariam says, as people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have al-jama' bayn al-nusus as a central rule. So why should politics be an exception? The radical political views of some high-caliber Sunni scholars baffles me. I agree, Mariam. I agree. Al-jama' bayn al-nusus is reconciling between different nusus would be like what? Scriptures, texts, whatever. But if you have examples as to what you're talking about, Maryam, let's talk specifics. But I feel like I agree with you. Tawseef says, we have so many Turkish Muslims in Germany living here since 40 years now, but I rarely see any empathy or ummah feeling and no boycott for any Zionist products. Everyone living like that before. There's a problem, Tawseef, and I don't know the situation of Turks in Germany, so I can't say. But whenever a Muslim community moves to another country, a non-Muslim country, for economic gain, you're starting in a debt. You're starting behind. You have to have an attitudinal shift first, where the people have to stop caring about the dunya and the status symbols and getting rich and making it. Here we call it the American dream. Maybe we call it the German dream. They have to stop that, and they have to recalibrate what their goals are. Is your goal Jannah, or is your goal the dunya? That's the first thing you have to figure out. If your community starts out with your goal is the dunya, that's a really, really, really uphill struggle. So that's the first thing to figure out. Sada, we do the striving and results are ways from Allah. Nice. Good point, Seamus. Sheikh Tarifi. Ameen. Hey, Ashik. Just like Bro Sami Hamdi says, all victory belongs to Allah and we can only strive. I think he meant strive. Salah Adin is my hero says, also Sheikh, please do a debate with Mehdi Hassan on his support for Genocider Harris. It's still somewhat shocking to me that he has this stance after his amazing debates against Zionists. That's one of the few people I'll be open to debating. 100% Sharjah, biryani diplomacy, a Chacho League. Yeah. That's pretty funny. I'm trying, Sada. I'm trying to coin the term, biryani diplomacy. With no offense to biryani, biryani is quite delicious, but biryani diplomacy, that's how you do dawah, but not politics. Let the Tablighi Jama'ah deal with biryani diplomacy. That's the good type of biryani diplomacy. Raj is shaking his head, no. Seamus brings up a good point. Sunni leaders don't have ideological projects. Some will call 21st century Amr ibn Luhay in Abu Dhabi the Sunni leader. That's a good point, Seamus. That's one of the differences between the Sunni leaders and the Shia leaders. The Shia leaders have ideological projects. The Sunni leaders don't. The Sunni leaders are just in it for themselves and their own whatever, family or whatever. Ruslan, ahlan wa sahlan, habibi. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We can hold opposite views and still be brothers. Bisan says, is voting for Jill Stein, Green Party, a smart idea? Am I allowed to say that on Yaqeen Institute? I'm getting... Studio says no. I can't say that in this forum. Check out my content elsewhere on other platforms. RR, wa alaykum salam, from New York. Atik Rahman. Buongiorno, sto bene, grazie. Come stai? Here we go. Zainab says, can you convince Omar Suleiman to register as a write-in candidate in the swing states, not to win, but to take votes away from Harris? That's awesome. I've tried to convince Omar Suleiman of more than that, Zainab. I've tried to convince him more than that. I'm sitting here with his mail. I'm sitting here with his mail right now. This is his desk, you know that, right? This is his setup. Like, we could go through his mail. He's got a nice one right here. Mashallah, handwritten note from Battle Creek, Michigan. I'm not going to do that. But I've tried. I love Sheikh Omar. Obviously, we have mutual respect and love, but you can only convince people of so much. Redbeard says Israel is destabilizing the region. Yep. As they spin the facts, yep, they do that 100%. Very well said, Redbeard. I like that comment better. Amina, welcome back. Asking what time, guys? Sammy Hamdi, what time? Come on, give the people a time.
7:30 Eastern,
folks. Sammy Hamdi, Monday, 7:30 Eastern, inshallah ta'ala.
P.M.
Yeah, not in the morning. Not in the morning. Though we could, but I don't know that.
No, we can't.
Yeah. Tausif says, I plan to relocate from Europe. Whoa, what is going on in this chat? In order to be able to home educate my kids. This is a very important thing. And that's true. And that's one of the advantages of the United States, that you're able to homeschool your children. It's legal. There's got a strong tradition. He's asking the opinion, in the U.S., a better place with higher salaries, or Malaysia or Middle East with lower salaries? That depends on more specific criteria that are specific to you, right? Malaysia is a great place. Mashallah, tabarakallah. I've lived in Medina as far as the Middle East goes. I can't necessarily see it as a long-term option. You don't necessarily have a path to citizenship. But it's a more nuanced conversation than that, right? In general, you have to take specifics over generalities. And that's usul al-fiqh. That's something we get from our usul. Always take specific information over generalities. Malaysia is not one place. It's different city to city, village to village. The United States is not one place. Dallas is Dallas. Philadelphia is Philadelphia. You know, very different places. Okay? The Middle East is definitely not one place. Okay? Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Lebanon, Libya, all very different places. What's that?
Different types of mulkhiyah.
Different types of mulkhiyah. Don't get caught with the wrong type of mulkhiyah. No, but seriously, you have to go with the specifics. If you're talking about moving to a specific town versus a specific town, then you can compare apples to apples. People asking for inside info, guys.
We got it? Yeah.
Imam Tom, Sharjil says, any clue about Sheikh Omar Suleiman's Ramadan series will be like?
It's about Islam.
Okay, all right. Come close. Come close. The secret. It's about Islam. There you go. I actually don't even remember what it's about. But they announced it within internally. You'll see. It's going to be great. You know, we never disappoint, inshallah. Besides, Tausif says, do you have any curriculum for beginning homeschooling? You should check some of their curriculum on, it depends on the age group, of course, but check on Yaqeen's website for some homeschooling curriculum. Redbeard says, voting is fake. As long as they employ the Electoral College over the popular vote, it's a rigged game. That's true. However, Redbeard, I will say, and I love your username, by the way, and your profile pic, that voting does different things that people don't realize. People think about voting all wrong. People think that voting is like, I choose you, Pikachu, and you're going to go be my hero in political. That's not how it works, as you say. And I told a sister in Houston that came up to me and said, oh, I'm not sure who to vote for. I said, sister, you don't get to decide who becomes the president. They wouldn't give you that power. Are you nuts? That's why they have the Electoral College, right? Just in case you make the wrong choice, they can come in and save it at the end of the day. But it's not irrelevant because it actually forces you to organize. It forces you to develop an infrastructure where you can communicate messaging. You can direct funds and fundraising. You develop other things in the process of coordinating a voting as a block. And those things are useful for other things. And even the ability to do that sends a message to the politicians that, okay, this group of people can actually mobilize and act as one, which they pay attention to that. Okay, so that's the people will get it wrong. That's the purpose of voting, much more than just picking your favorite person. Brother says, "Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah," right back at you. Misbah Qasim says, "Sunni Muslims celebrating the death of Hezbollah leaders?" Allowed. Is that a question or a statement? I don't know. Allah knows best. We tried to have some nuance to it earlier. Ashik says, "Sister Francesca Bocca from Italia might have something for you in terms of homeschooling." That's good to know. She's very prolific in her work. She recently had a couple interviews on Paul Williams' channel, Blogging Theology. Go over there and check it out. ED asks, "What's your current favorite book watching from Birmingham? Birmingham Sharif, mashallah." I was able to visit Birmingham in April. My current favorite book, Allah Mustan. I've got about 5 books I'm reading it sort of at once, like juggling. But you know, it's hard because they're books I've already read before. So it's like, I don't know what to tell you my current favorite book. I was given a really nice book about Munasabat al-Quran by Asama Ra'i, who's like the Sahib al-Fan, like he's like one of the leading scholars in that particular thing. It was all about the subtle differences in wording in the Quran. I nerd out on that stuff a lot. I think it's fascinating. Why does Allah say, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ in one ayah, and then a couple of ayahs later, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ? That's not accidental. That's purpose, right? Why? Some of the scholars say, عظيم has a relationship to عظم, which is your bones. It's very like sort of a corporal thing, okay? And that corresponds to the kuffar, whose inad is zahir, right? Whose denial of the truth is apparent for everyone to see. Whereas for the hypocrites, Allah says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Because an alam is something internal and hidden, which corresponds to the nature of their rejection, which is also hidden because they're munafiqeen. And Allah knows best. But I nerd out on this stuff. This is called like Munasabat al-Quran. This stuff is like very fascinating to me. So I am reading a book in that, among others. Guder al-Tulmbash, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are continually belittled and blasphemed by academic writers. How can we change laws and be activists in laws? I wouldn't necessarily suggest that the way to change that is through law. I think the way to change that is through the entire structure of the act of the academy needs to be shifted, okay? Probably by a parallel structure. I'll speak from the United States perspective. The United States perspective, the university is ruined. The university is just about money making right now. Tuitions are through the roof. Presidents are former World Bank execs that get paid to basically on the neoliberal model of maximizing profits and cutting costs. It's a really horrible system. The quality of education has gone down. You can't speak out against Zionism. You know, the classroom has been politicized and weaponized. It's not a good time to be a university student or to try to go to university, right? So within this context, people are, of course they're gonna blaspheme. Like this is part of how the West sort of expresses its superiority or perceived superiority. That's how it flexes, by punching down on those barbaric backward Muslims, right? So what we have to do is we have to stop sending our kids. We have to stop looking at Harvard and Yale and Princeton as these amazing things that, you know, if your child gets into it and we're at a dinner or something like that, or you're at a rishta, right, Iraj? You're like, oh, Harvard, ooh, mashallah. Why? I'm more suspicious of you. If you come out of Harvard, I have reason to suspect you. I don't trust you. Right? Especially if you're in Islamic studies, especially if you write something about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? I use the word rishta, that's why I talk that.
Oh, am I getting married?
No. Unless you want to get married. Iraj, are you married, Iraj?
No.
You don't even talk about it. Let's not talk about it. No rishta talk over here. This is what's dangerous if you get all the guys in the same studio at once. Allah mustan. So that's the thing. We will be able to overcome it, Guler. And I'm assuming that's a Turkish name. Forgive me if I'm wrong there. When, not by legally, because this is confirming the bias of these folks who think that we're just backwards and want to just whip everybody who disagrees with us, but through discourse that academically challenges and undermines them. And that has to be through a different structure that is not the same sort of Western structure of knowledge that already exists. Siti Fatiha, good to see you here. It's the need for collective consciousness when it comes to voting. One vote is very valuable when thinking collectively. You said it. Well done. Kagiro says, when I was little, I used to think all the Muslims around the world were on the same page. Yep, that was disappointing. 100%. Good stuff. Art Forge said, we had a lot of major ups and downs as of late. How do you keep ourselves aware that Allah has power over everything, not feeling arrogant when we win or hopeless? That's a great question. That's an absolutely great question. From Art. The ultimate thing, one of the things that I think of is that we've seen things like this before, right? If you go to Ashab al-Ukhdud, right, and Surah al-Buruj, you go to different people in the Quran. That's why we have the Quran, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Check how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. Oftentimes, he consoles him alayhi salatu wasalam, by telling him that he's not alone, either explicitly or implicitly by mentioning the stories of the other prophets, that the other prophets went through this as well. Fiery Ambition says, how do we help the Muslims of China? I feel like the world has forgotten about them. It's very true. And that's the thing. The question is, all questions like that are never going to be answered by pleading the case for someone to, you know, pretty please respect human rights. That's not going to do it. You have to find some sort of leverage. What does China need? What does China want? How can you leverage what they need and want from you in order to negotiate, right? If you see China coming in to buy up companies or to lay pipelines or to build infrastructure and stuff like that, which they're doing, that's part of their global strategy right now in Africa and Southeast Asia and other places, is there any room to use that as leverage to negotiate some sort of better situation for the Muslims in China? Mariam says, this is an example regarding my last question. I'm seeing black or white thinking. Yes, very good. Vilification and labeling. Yes, yes, yes. Very nice. Okay, mashallah. You're deep in it, Mariam, if you know what sururi is. Mashallah. And those trying to have balance. 100%, Mariam. Put that comment up. Mashallah. Very good. 100% agree. Asma, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Welcome, Asma. Khadija, wa alaykum as-salam. I got some of my folks up in here. Very good. Salah ad-Din. All right, put that up and screenshot it, guys. Salah ad-Din is my hero, says Sheikh Omar Suleiman, 2028. Muhammad Yassin says, you in place of Dr. Butch Ware is what I'd like to see. Oh, but I'm a Medina grad. I think I disqualified myself. Aisha Idam, Alaykum Salaam. It's been a while. MashaAllah. Good to see you here. What is the goal? That's what I've been asking my friends here in the U.S. The goal, Aisha, is to attach a political cost to Zionism to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Palestine and the West Bank. Netanyahu has said himself explicitly, if the United States stops supporting the occupation will fall. It will cease to exist. Our duty here is to try to change the foreign policy of the United States of America to show how support for Zionism is a political liability, not an asset, to create a political consequence or a political cost for supporting the Zionist genocide and therefore changing the game. Be Happy says Project 2025 is very specific about what Trump wants to achieve if elected president. Not really. Trump has disavowed Project 2025. It was written by the Heritage Foundation. It's sure that he's going to have some things in common with it, but there's no evidence that this is his thing or that he wants to impose all of it. This is sort of like a more democratic talking point. And some of the stuff in Project 2025 is horrible, and some of it is awesome. Like, for example, did you guys know that in Project 2025 it says to dismantle the FBI? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Right? But no one talks about that. So stay awake. Don't get pulled into left-right thinking, Democrat, Republican thinking. This is not a sports game. This is not a soccer match or a football match. All right? Like, let's be fair and in the middle and take things in specifics. and specifics. Okay. Now, the ultimate, here's the real lesson of Project 2025. Let me put you on game. Here's the real lesson of Project 2025 is that every group that wants to shape the future of the United States of America has their own version of Project 2025. Not just the conservatives. The liberals have their own versions. The people who are advocating for LGBTQ have their own versions. You know who's the only group of people who don't have it? The Muslims. We have yet to put out our 50, 100, 200-page plan of Project 2025 if we had our way. If we had $20 million and unlimited manpower, what would we do in America? How would we influence in America? How would we go about repealing the Patriot Act, just like the Catholics figured out how to repeal Roe versus Wade? How do we go about stopping the NSA from spying on our phone conversations? How do we stop the CIA from assassinating people abroad? That is what we need to be doing. We need to be planning like they plan. Abdurrahman, I'm more in the house. May Allah bless you, Habibi, and protect you. Layla, welcome to the program. Will Byer says, what are some ways to stop watching prohibited stuff? This is an issue of habit. Don't spend time in tempting places. You will fall into temptation less often. That means getting out of the house, whatever it means, getting rid of your TV, getting rid of your phone, whatever it takes. Glad to hear, Kagiro, that was helpful for you. That's a good point, Redbeard. It's like a census. That's a good point. Local definitely is more. Listen, you know, in Utica, one of the district, the for the city council, the ward that the masjid was in had the lowest amount of voter turnout in the whole city. All it took was 400 votes to win the city council election. Like, that's easy math. That's light work for a masjid, right? That's the type of thing that we should be doing. Elias, Habibi, salam. Abdullah, Aib. Look at this. From you guys left me behind. Allah, Elias, Habibi. Next time, inshallah. We're very sorry. Abdullah forgot to pack you away in his bag. Allahu Akbar. Halim and Nasir. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So what are you suggesting is we should still vote if we don't like anybody? Vote strategically, yes. Not voting doesn't do anything for you. You're very easy to ignore that way. Vote strategically, see what I say on other platforms, can't say it here. Hamza B, you already said about Australia. Umar Suleiman, I'll try. I just told you I can't convince them to do other things, but we'll try. Yaqeen Book Club in the future, ED, I would like that. I'd be all for that. Norita, Walaikum Salaam Raftallah, from Indonesia. Very good to have you with us, Indonesia. Wonderful people, wonderful country. All right, Adunya Balash. Awesome username. Put that comment up there. Adunya Balash. A250 says, what kind of parallel structure is there? Well, I'm glad you asked. So something like Yaqeen Institute is a good example of an opportunity where we can produce discourse and academic research that's not formally tied to universities, okay? Now, we're producing our own discourse on Islam that takes Islamic Orthodox very seriously and doesn't necessarily sell it out. I think there need to be about 20 Yaqeen Institutes. Be happy is coming to Harris's defense. I'm not going to touch that. I'm just going to bring on Sami Hamdi on Monday to smash it. May Allah, Ashik, may Allah grant you a righteous spouse. Ameen, Ya Rab. Nuseba's on my team. I knew you were going to like that, Nuseba. Clip that and send it to the aunties. Do it. Send it to the aunties. Harvard, boo. Mom Sammy says, can you recommend any resources in presenting the Islamic civilization/society as a solution alternative to young people? I mean, the crazy thing is that a lot of the sort of, and I hate this term, it's a fictitious term, but the Islamist discourse went the furthest with this, right? About trying to present Islam as like an option that's like neither capitalism nor socialism, right? Not the mistakes of individualism. Now, I think that a lot of that stuff is dated and needs to be updated. If I had about three of me or four of me, if I could clone myself, one of me would be dedicated to just doing that. I think it's really good work. And we try to do that at Yaqeen Institute, and there's other people online that do that as well. Susie Q, does presidential voting in the US even matter? I don't live in a stinks. Well, I explained just a bit ago how it kind of does, but not in the way that you think it does. Aywa Muhammad Ibn, Western structures of knowledge, money, and power, 100%, 100%. All right, alhamdulillah, Minami, thank you for joining us. Majid Mahmoud, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, ya shaykhana. Barakallahu feekum. Oh, okay. It's not actually our sheikh, it's just someone on his daughter on your account. Awkward. Mariam says, SubhanAllah, I'm so glad I got rejected by Cornell 2 years ago. Allah's plan is best. 100%, Mariam. And you know what? I believe Cornell has one of the highest rates of student suicide. I used to live up close to that area. For various reasons, not saying that it's, you know, whatever, but I mean, take it with a badge of pride. Take it with a badge of pride. It's not all it's cracked up to be. And I say that from someone who, I'm a graduate of Vassar College. Vassar College is like, what do they call, sub-Ivy or something like that. Alhamdulillah. And I was from a very working class town, public school kid. When I got in there and saw the types of people that were there, trust me, it's not as impressive as you think. It's kind of like Israel, projecting power and invincibility, but weak. That was a dangerous guy. Okay. All right, let's see here. Adunya Balash, yep. All right, good for you, Adunya Balash. I appreciate you. Appreciate your username too. Amal, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. I have a question regarding giving advice. If I'm seeing my sister or someone dear doing something wrong and insisting in doing it, do I give advice? That's a little bit too general. Like, you have to evaluate what's your relationship with that person. Are you certain that that thing is wrong that they're doing? How wrong is it? Is it just like khilaf al-awla? Is it just like not the best thing that they could be doing? There's a lot of nuance in there. I recommend you talk to someone in person that's going to know your situation better. Oh man, A25 wants to get us really in trouble. What are your thoughts, the different American Muslim educational institutions? Daytona? What's Daytona? I think you have autocorrect on. It went from Zaytuna to Daytona. Alim, I think you meant Qalam. no comment, but I'll just say this. I still think that the institutions abroad and traditional learning abroad is still much, much, much higher caliber than the institutions that we have here in the US. One day, inshallah, I hope that the institutions in the US get to that level, but I don't think we're there yet. One of the best ones, or a couple of the best ones that I know of, are Islamic University of Minnesota. Sheikh Waleed Al-Manisi up in the Twin Cities does a great job up there. It's a very, very, you know, thorough, I think, institution. Also, Mishkat does a pretty good job, mashallah, may Allah increase them and make everything better. Kamran Gusakowski asks, how do you balance between being in the front lines of political activism as Muslims versus focusing on being better Muslims? Do we focus on one over the other first? No, we have to do both. We have to do both. And honestly, this is something that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the early Muslims demonstrated. Yes, there was a certain amount of time of sort of like incubating and developing yourself, but pretty early on, the da'wah went public. And the Muslims were making salah in front of the Kaaba and getting beat up. That's a type of activism, you could say. Okay, so, you know, you do both. Salman Sayyid says, Imam Tommy should do another podcast with Sheikh YQ about political engagement. I benefit immensely from both your perspectives. Inshallah, inshallah. We'll see. Seamus, man. Seamus is just, I'm going to rename you Seamus to safety off. Jake destroyed YQ's horrible points. Alhamdulillah. Let's not bring too much drama in here. You think that he had a stronger argument. I didn't see it. I don't follow the drama like that. Okay, very good. That's a good point, Susie Q. So Susie Q says, LOL, if we put out our project 2025, I feel they would discriminate against us harder. Perhaps. But there's this weird exchange or interplay where it's like, we have to normalize it. You know what I mean? Right? It's like, we have to normalize being able to do it. If they're able to do it, why shouldn't we? The elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about is because Muslims and Islam are considered in the political discourse by default a threat. And the question that we have to reckon with is, do we want to just not touch that and leave that intact? Or do we want to challenge that and eventually dismantle that? And how do we challenge that and dismantle that? We have to get to a point where eventually we dismantle that false perception, because we have a right to contribute to society and participate in trying to argue our version of what we think the best society would be, just like anybody else does. That's true, Seamus. Good point. Mohammed Aniq says, how plausible is it to view the current situation in Palestine from an eschatological perspective? That means end of life, end of the times. I'm hesitant to do that, because that to me feels like political quietism. There's many of the minor signs that have not happened yet. None of the major signs have happened yet. It's possible. We shouldn't sleep on it. And we should keep our knowledge of the Dajjal and the signs of the Day of Judgment and things like that in our pocket, ready, like, and at the top of our minds. But we should never let that stop us from taking the action that Allah wants us to take. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that if the Day of Judgment is established and you have a seedling or a sapling in your hand, then what you should do is plant the sapling, even if the Day of Judgment is descending upon you. Yeah, we're gonna play basketball, me and Sheikh Shanawi, inshallah. Tomorrow night, inshallah. I don't know. Are we gonna go live? Yaqeen Institute? IG? Something like that? Well, we're gonna do it. We're gonna be hooping. We might as well give the people what they want, man.
It's gonna be the new Imam Tom Live.
Yeah, new Imam Tom Live is just gonna be on the courts. Settle it on the courts.
Who's the other one?
Harvard students.
Hasbullah, Islam, wa alaykum salam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Love you back. May Allah bless you. Love you for the sake of Allah from Malaysia. That's true, Redbeard. I agree. Mariam Qurashi, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. What is a good way to start prioritizing deen over dunya? Sacrifice, Mariam, is the name of the game. You have to sacrifice. And as someone who converted to this religion, I can tell you I gave up things for Islam. I gave up relationships and friendships for Islam. I gave up jobs for Islam. I gave up comfort for Islam. I moved for Islam. I changed the course of my life for Islam. And that's why I can't sell out. I don't know how else to put it. There's no going back for me. I've burnt all my boats, so to speak. I don't have anything left to lose. At a certain point, you give up so much for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you don't care about the people, and you don't care about even what's the worst thing that they can do to me. Somebody could try to arrest me and put me in jail or kill me or something like that. That's the dunya. Well, what do I care, right? Like that's the worst that they could do. And so we're here for Allah. We live for Allah. So when you start to sacrifice and get in that mentality, then the whole thing opens up for you. Okay, mashallah. Sheikh Majid is watching with family. Good to know, Sheikh Majid. I want to make sure that this was a nobody was using your account. May Allah bless you, Sheikh. Yes, Seamus, thank you. Sapiens Institute. Sapiens Institute does great work. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really I roll with them. I roll with Sapiens Institute, Hamza Sortsis and friends. Met some of the brothers not too long ago. Nuseva, Baruch College. I don't know where that is. Sounds like it's somewhere. Good. Be Happy's asking for a link to a platform. I don't have my own platform, Be Happy, where I talk about elections. However, I do have material or content on Thinking Muslim, podcast with Muhammad Jalal. I'll be doing something with him later this month, inshallah ta'ala, in the U.S. He's coming to the U.S. And also with Blogging Theology, Paul Williams, the wonderful brothers of the U.K. May Allah bless them. Bless them. Chill B Diva, will Yaqeen Institute set up in Singapore? Probably not, but definitely Malaysia, inshallah. I'm secretly hoping they make me like the head of that, setting up Yaqeen in Malaysia, so I can just move to Malaysia and get it over with.
We'll follow you.
Bismillah. Susie Q says, thoughts on studying abroad. Options are mostly limited to non-Muslim European countries and Australia. From where? Where are you going? That you're going, like, from where are you departing? I generally have the same attitude towards studying abroad in a non-Muslim country as I have towards Harvard and Princeton. I wish, I long for the day when the Muslims will want to go to Morocco and Tunisia for study abroad instead of Paris and London. I long for that day. That's what Izzah looks like, okay? How many people, they say, you know, Palestine Hurra and all this stuff, you know, and then they take selfies in front of the Eiffel Tower. Ayyib wallah. No, seriously, ayyib. I can't roll with that. So we gotta get ourselves figured out here. We gotta get ourselves straight. I would rather go to Jakarta. I would rather go to KL. I'd rather go to Kuwait. I'd rather go to places like that. And I think that's the type of internal calibration that we should be shooting for. Oh man, Nuseva, what are you going to do to me? Come on now. Opening can of worms here. What's wrong with Zaytuna College? Maybe lead me somewhere where I can read about it. I don't want fitna. I don't want fitna when it comes to naming and shaming. However, there are some people who haven't realized that the peace process was just slow genocide when it comes to Palestine. The peace process was always a ruse. It was always... Even someone who was a secular nationalist like Edward Said saw it. What did he call it? He called it the instrument of Palestinian surrender. Allahu Akbar. That the peace process and the peace accords were always the instrument of Palestinian surrender. So you can't tell people to not get involved in politics and then you go get involved in politics and you don't know what you're doing. And that's all I'll say about that. Amin Halima, thank you for your dua. Muaz says, no, Mishkeh, the college, the university. Ebshir, any quality will do. Supposedly, yeah, Susie Q, I agree. Riyadh, ahlan wa sahlan. Ya ahlan Najd. Barakallahu fikum, JM. Have some qahwa Arabiya for me. Yeah, check this out, guys. So yeah, Omar Abdullah. A. Qadri says, so nice that you're all together in the studio, mashallah. You can feel the brotherhood emanating from the screen. Allahu Akbar. That makes us all smile. Oh, thank you, Mariam. I appreciate you. Imam Tom, could you elaborate more on Islam versus capitalism and socialism and how it's become an outdated discourse? Very good. So I've given some lectures on this a couple years ago before, obviously, pre-October 7th world. Both capitalism and socialism / communism are materialistic in their anthropology, meaning their understanding of who the human being is, their philosophy of human, in their sense of what agency is, in their sense of ontology, is there a God, is there not? What's the ultimate purpose of life? Where are we going? What are we headed for? It's all wrong. So it's corrupt foundations to both. Where they differ is in the theories of personal property, theories of labor, theories of value, and things of that nature. But the things in which they hold in common are essentially materialist perspectives of the world, with the minor exception of, let's say, proto-capitalism or early capitalism that had some sort of Christian basis of human anthropocentric sort of domination of nature, right? But that got secularized through the Enlightenment and it became its own sort of thing. So that's a thing. Islam has a theory of property and of human beings that is different from both capitalism and socialism. Whereas capitalism holds a theory of property that is absolute. You own your property. If I were Omar Suleiman, I would own this letter and I could torch it and, you know, or do whatever I want to it, you know, throw it in the ocean. In Islam, you do not have absolute property rights. You have contingent derivative property rights. Everything belongs to Allah first, and it is loaned out to you. And therefore, there is an expectation as to what you're to do with that thing. There can't be talaf. You can't just destroy property in a wanton way. You can't make ihtiqar. You can't have monopolies or hoard or many, many things that you can't do because you're not the true owner. You are the steward, rather, of that property. So the philosophy and the theory of property is very, very different in Islam than it is in capitalism and also socialism. Socialism basically comes along and says, well, you know, the idea of private property in itself is problematic, which Islam does not agree with. Private property is fine. The correction that socialism attempted to make to capitalism was an overreaction in another, different materialist direction, whereas Islam transcends the issue and says, no, both y'all are wrong. What you had wrong was your ontology. You subtracted Allah from the entire equation. And what is your duty towards property, the creation, and everything that you own? That's what's missing. And that's that in a nutshell. Ameen, Amina. Ameen, you too. Ameen, it's everybody's dua. Good stuff, everybody. Appreciate you all. Lemon. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No, I can't. Not in English. I read these things in Arabic. Ma'alesh. I don't know what they are in English if they exist. Noora. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It's kind of general, but I would say A Road to Mecca by Muhammad Asad is a nice one. Sharjia says, can we expect Sheikh Haifa and you in a live with here Imam Tom ever? Why not? Sheikh Haifa is someone I respect a lot, mashallah, her and her scholarship, if she'd be open to it, but I know she's very, very busy. A Hong says, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. What's the right attitude of a Muslim when he sees everyone giving their opinion when they don't have all the knowledge or enough hindsight? To tell people to fear Allah and to slow down and to direct people to something which is better. Muhammad Yassin says, a sister named Samia that Muhammad Jalal has been retweeting more often these days, who has put out great words on voting third party. Do keep an eye out as she changed my mind. Female Sami Hamdi. Allahu Akbar. Okay, that's news to me. Valerie De Leon, welcome to the program. Good to see you back. Okay. Yep, that's a good point, Seamus, about Jared Kushner. Ahlan wa sahlan. I don't have any problem with the Khalij in summertime. Heat does not bother me, so it's all good. I would love to visit Kuwait. Have not been, unfortunately. Daylight America 2024. Can the Imam recite a beautiful surah for the people of Palestine? For the people of Palestine, you got me there. I was going to say no until you said for the people of Palestine. I mean, we have been doing the short surahs. We'll just do, you know, the easy one is Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Malik yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. May Allah bless and protect the people of Palestine and make them victorious. Fatiha, we're going to give you a better position than the office cleaner, don't worry. Atika says, I've read somewhere the souls of believers meet with the prophets in the barzakh. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Zanzibar, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Guler. Can you tell me a source that has the correct 99 names of Allah? Allah has more than 99 names. A nice book is by Jinan Yusuf. What's it called? You guys know? You can look up the title. Can't remember what it's called. Something on reflecting the meanings of Jinan Yusuf.
Just reflecting on the names of Allah.
Reflecting on the names of Allah. That's a nice book. Muaz says, I have a sincere Muslim relative who's a socialist with anarchist tendencies. What would be good materials and arguments to help him get over it? I think he's reacting. Habibi, that's my life. Like, just tell him to come talk to me. Like, I was I was sympathetic and involved in those ideologies before Islam. So I know exactly in and out. But the thing is, at the end of the day, they're materialism. Anarchism and communism and socialism are all materialistic ideologies. They do not account for the divine in any substantial way. And so their recommendations go haywire. People usually get attracted because, yes, 100% when it is a reaction to capitalism, but it is swinging the opposite direction and not treating the root problem, right? The root problem is not hierarchy, okay? We don't have anything in Islam that is categorically against hierarchy, okay? Which anarchists would say that the root of all evil is hierarchy. Any hierarchy is evil, right? So that's not Islamic. What these ideologies are missing is the divine, right? A250 is not seeing the Yaqeen Muslim voter report on the website. Can we link?
He's ready. I'm at my bed.
Oh,
it's not up.
We apologize. It's not up. Stay tuned, inshallah. Qadi Aladdin, may Allah bless you. Ameen. Thank you very much for the dua. Merve Ursel, wa alaykum salam rafraf, min Turkiye. Turkiye'den. Hoş geldiniz. İyi misiniz? Good to have you with us. Book recommendation about critique of Western philosophy from a traditional Islamic perspective. The one that I have yet to write. And with that, we've reached the end of the questions. May Allah bless you all. Do we have anything we haven't covered, guys? We've pretty much covered everything. Right? So it's been an hour and a half. I think we're going to wrap up. We've got to make salah. May Allah. Don't forget Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Inshallah ta'ala.
Sami
Hamdi Live. In person, in Dallas, in the studio. The world might just collapse. May Allah bless you all and forgive us for our shortcomings. We'll see you next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.